Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the broadcast this morning. I'd like to start this week off with this. A man was seated on a park bench when a little chap, about 5 years old, sat down beside him and began winding what appeared to be a prized possession, his watch. "What a handsome watch! Does it tell you the time?" the man asked. "No, sir. You gotta look at it," said the boy. Now, we can all see the humor in that, but here's the thing, is that you gotta look at it. And the thing about God's truth is you've gotta look for it. You've gotta see it. You've gotta pursue it. It's there, but you need to grab a hold of it for you. And that's what we always strive to do on this program, is to get you in tune with the Word of God, to open it up, to consider it, to think about it, to discuss it. We don't claim to have all the answers or know every little portion or part of it, but we strive to do that as the years go by. Now, we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because it's going to give us a good springboard for the next couple of weeks to talk about what should really matter to us at this time of the year. We're in the month of December, the Christmas season, and it's unfortunate that so many of the activities that are going on around us really have nothing to do with God's incredible gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. But before we do that, I wanted to jump into Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Remember here that as Solomon is writing this, he's writing it from a perspective of, without God, wow, life is really meaningless. And it's hard to understand and comprehend. And ultimately, boy, what is there? Remember, even back in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, right after he introduces Ecclesiastes with meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless, he says in verse 3, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? And then he kind of talks about nature and the generations and the sun rises and the wind blows and the streams flow back into the sea. And he's talking about all of these very general, broad things that just happen in life. Well, when we get to chapter 3, we've talked about several things already, but when we get to chapter 3, it's kind of almost a reverse of what he started there in chapter 1. He spends the first 8 verses sharing about general things, but even more specific things as far as humanity is concerned. And then when he gets to verse 9, he says, what do workers gain from their toil? So it's almost like he's going back and revisiting it. And as he goes through here, he's trying in multiple ways to help us to understand that life without God has really no full meaning. It has no full satisfaction, that unless we incorporate God in things, that everything's just vanity. It's just meaningless. All right. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the NIV says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." All right, so what Solomon's going to do for these first 8 verses is just share with us quite a few things, activities that happen in life. And these things, as we read through here, you'll see that they are kind of opposed to each other or opposite of each other or an extreme of each other. But they're all things that happen within the sphere of what we call existence. And so he says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, time to plant, time to uproot, time to kill, and a time to heal, time to tear down, a time to build, time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, time to be silent, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time for war, and a time for peace. All right, so, you know, most of those activities, when you think about them and consider them, we understand what he's talking about. And really, it's just, again, talking about existence. There are good things in life. There are pleasant things in life. There are difficult things. There's hardships. There's struggles and turmoil and things that aren't so good, but they're all a part of life. Whether we've had to experience them personally by experience, for the most part, life kind of falls into all of these different categories. Now, we understand what he's saying, and I love how he starts off the first couplet there, which kind of encompasses everything else. As far as an individual is concerned, there's a time that you were born, and there's going to be a time that you die. And that's just normal human life, isn't it? And those are factors that we don't have determination over. We didn't decide when we were going to be born. That was a decision of our parents or just natural reproduction. And so we were born at whatever time we were born. And we don't know what time we're going to die either. And so these are all things that happen in life. And people rejoice about birth. But death is one of those hard concepts to get your head around. And we tend to want to just focus on the positive things in life. But the point is, all of these things happen. Especially in verse 3, I want you to realize there when it says a time to kill, that's different than obviously murder. Okay, there's never a time to do that, but even that happens in life. And so Solomon's dealing with things here that are just part of the normal life. And frankly, it's always been that way from the beginning. And especially after man chose to not listen to God and do God's will, but chose to listen to the enemy, the adversary, and instead choose against God. And so all of these things are part and parcel of life. And so his point is, what do you gain from all of a life of toil? What do you gain from a life of living, regardless of your experiences, regardless of what you are a part of or not? What's the whole point? What's the whole point? But the point is that in verse 10, the NIV says that I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. There are other translations that I think probably bring that out a little bit better, that God has given us life. Okay, God is the one that has created everything. God is the one that has ultimately given us life. God has given us a parameter in which to live in. And so here's the point. God has given us that life. Now, I know sometimes that people look at it as a burden, that life's a drag. And this is kind of where Solomon was looking at it. It's like, what's the point? And man, it's just life is a drag with all of the stuff. But is it really? I mean, there's good things in life. And ultimately, as we've said before, and we'll keep saying as we go through here, a life lived from God's perspective is not a burden. It's a great joy. And even in spite of all of the things that are hard and the struggles and the difficulties, that if you just keep on living, recognizing God in life and looking to Him and looking for His wisdom as you go through life, then this business of life, this task of life, that we're to live life to its full, and we're to take everything that happens in a context of knowing that God ultimately is sovereign. God is the one who ultimately is going to work all things out according to His purposes. And that's what verse 11 goes on to say. He has made everything beautiful or appropriate in its time. Beautiful is not so much aesthetically pleasing. It's not like war is pleasing or a time to hate is pleasing or a time to tear down is pleasing or any of some of those other things. It's not that those things are beautiful. It's just the point is that in spite of all the things that could happen negatively, God can take all of those things that happen, positive, negative, good, bad, ugly. He can take all of those things, and if we'll look to Him and listen to Him and continue to walk in His wisdom, God can take all of these activities of life and turn them ultimately into something good for us. Hey, that's really what Romans 8:28 says. God works all things out for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Now, realize that's a conditional promise, isn't it? It's not that God's going to work everything out wonderfully, beautifully, whatever, for everybody. He doesn't say that. He says that He will work those things out to those who love Him. Okay? Now, He loves all of us. He wants all of us to be in a good relationship with Him, just as a parent longs for their children to be in a good relationship with them. Just like a husband and wife long to have a good marriage, that an employer, an employee should strive and love to have a good working relationship. You know, all of us, when we desire to get along with each other and do the right thing by each other, how much better is life when we'll call out that which is wrong and bad and say, hey, stop it, and that which is good and proper and commend it, and that we recognize the difference between good and evil, not from our own point of view or even from society, but what God has given us in the Scripture. All right? And like we said even at the beginning of the program, this is something you have to search for. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in Hollywood. You're not going to find it on most of the internet. You're not going to find it just wherever. You're going to find God's wisdom in God's Word, in the Scriptures, which He's given to mankind to help us to understand who He is, who we are, what life is all about. And even Ecclesiastes has a part in that, making us aware of life. Solomon says, look, there's all these things that are part of life, verses 1 through 8, but, you know, what's the point of it, really? What do you gain from all this life and work and everything else? But this is the life that God's given us. We either recognize it as from God, or we reject God. But if we reject him, we're missing out. And in fact, he goes on to say in verse 11, he has also set eternity in the human heart. You see, because each one of us are, as a spiritual being, made in the image of God. In other words, we think, we reason, we can look at things logically. We have the power of choice and decision about what we're going to do. We have free will. We make choices. And those choices are either going to honor God or they're not. They're either going to be done in the service of mankind or just selfish. It's all about me. But God has put eternity in our hearts. In other words, intrinsically, in our very nature, we realize there's more than just this life. That there's more than just the meaningless and what's the point? And it's just all a repetition. We know there's more than that. God calls us to a higher existence than that. He created us to be inventive and creative and to inquire and to think and ask why and experiment and learn and everything else. And yet, within the right parameters, you know, when a car manufacturer makes a car, different cars have different purposes. I have a little Mitsubishi Mirage, which is real tiny. It would not get me very far if I decided to say, hey, I'm going to take this car and I'm going to go four-wheeling somewhere. I wouldn't get very far. That's not what it was made for. That's not what it was designed for. And so if I'm going to go four-wheeling, I want a big four-wheel drive truck or an SUV that can handle it or some such thing like that. So it is with life. God made us with a certain parameter to live within. He's given us expectations about life. And when we'll live as our maker has given us to live, life is good. When we don't, it's difficult for us and everybody else around us. So he's put eternity in our hearts. And to realize there's got to be more. And friends, I want you to know that there is more. That's the awesome thing about everlasting life, is it's just that. Everlasting. And that's not a drag with God. That's amazing. And so he's set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You know, some people, that's a drag. But to me, I'm glad. I don't want to know a God that I know perfectly and everything. I always want God to be God, and that there's always something about God that I have yet to learn, and there's always some mystery or something that I don't understand yet. And even after millions and millions and millions of years, if you would, there's no time in eternity, if you would. It's a ever succession of moments that there will always be something new and wonderful to learn and to grow in. And the very fact that no one can fathom everything God has done from beginning to end, well, good. Solomon certainly didn't know it. In fact, we know a lot more than Solomon did, because God has revealed more to us in the pages of the New Testament than he ever did for Solomon. But people that just say, well, there is no God, and, you know, I'm folding my arms and I'm turning my back on God, and nobody can tell me what to do. Okay, well, that's your choice, but you're missing out. And somebody says, well, nobody can understand, and who knows, and nobody knows the answers, and so they just give up that way. Why? When there's so much joy in searching a matter out. You know, the Proverbs say it's to a king's glory or honor to search a matter out. Why? Because they can. Well, so can we. And we need to seek out this eternity that's in our hearts from the living God. And so, you know, don't look at life as just a bunch of random things happening. You know, life needs to be lived on purpose. the things that we do and the things that we need to encourage others to do, we need to do it on purpose and trust that even if it doesn't work all out the way that we think it should and things happen that we don't understand or people do things to us that we don't understand or we can't figure out that seem totally crazy wrong to us, just remember that God is still sovereign. God is going to work it all out if we'll love him. If we've been called according to his purpose, God can make it all work out. All right, hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by John Elefante. He actually used to sing with the band Kansas. But this is a song where he honors God. That's why God made the moon, okay? That's why God made the moon. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's all about, you know, thinking about eternity and all that's going to be happening. All right, let's listen to him sing, "That's Why God Made the Moon."
Made the moon.
right, we're back this morning. I hope you enjoyed that. That's why God made the moon. So on nights like these, when we think about eternity, that we can recognize, hey, he's the creator. He's the sustainer of life. He's the sovereign king. He's the one who loved us enough to send his son, Jesus, to die for us. And that's really what we want to be talking about in the few weeks to come for the rest of the month, Lord willing. We want to consider that as far as there's a time for every activity and season of things under heaven, I want you to realize that Jesus came at a specific time in history, that God sent his son. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You know, Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. So we're going to be talking about God's indescribable gift. We're going to be talking about the Word of God that was with God and that was God, and that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This month really should be all about recognizing and remembering the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So we're going to do that for the next 2 weeks more specifically. But thanks so much for listening this morning. Ecclesiastes is a difficult, challenging book, and it's kind of hard to read through. But if you just keep the right perspective in mind, here's what it's like without God. Here's what it could be with God. And I encourage you to keep seeking God and to keep seeking his truth and to keep seeking his will and his power in your life, so that you too can live life to the full. Hey, we're the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we'd love you to come join us as we worship God on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to get to know you, answer questions, point you to answers, do whatever we can to encourage you in your spiritual journey with God. You can find us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com, and find some more specifics there. Thank you again so much for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement. We really are excited about all that God's done this year and will continue to do. So just keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless.